From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, Dr. Len Horowitz joins us. Emerging viruses and his views on vaccines. Kind of a harder twist to Coast tonight. Sean David Morton joins us in just a moment. Remote viewer, intuitive remote viewer. I'll tell you why. A forthcoming Pentagon study has found no operational link between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden's al-Qaeda terrorist network. The study, expected to be released later this week, is based on an extensive review of more than 600,000 Iraqi documents that were seized after the U.S.-led war in Iraq in 2003. Sponsored by the Pentagon. The report found no direct operational link between Saddam's government in Iraq and bin Laden's al-Qaeda terror ring before the U.S. invasion. Now, the Bush administration put forth the argument that there was a connection between Saddam and bin Laden when it made the case to go to war with Iraq after the 9/11-2001 terrorist attacks on the United States. And it seems to be still some kind of a divide here. The commander of U.S. forces in Iraq and Afghanistan, Admiral William Fallon, is said to retire from his post early. He cited the embarrassing situation and public perception of differences between what he says, my views, and administration policy is the reason for retiring. Now, he was the subject of a recent article by Esquire magazine, which said he was opposed to the use of force against Iran over its nuclear program. The 63-year-old admiral became head of the U.S. Central Command a year ago. U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates said the decision to take early retirement was entirely Admiral Fallon's, adding that he agreed that it was the right thing to do. Mr. Gates said the idea that Admiral Fallon's departure indicated that the U.S. was planning to go to war with Iran was ridiculous. Barack Obama coasted to victory in Mississippi's Democratic primary Tuesday night, latest in a string of polarized presidential contests across the Deep South, and a final tune-up before next month's high-stakes race with Hillary Clinton in Pennsylvania. Stocks surged more than 3% on Tuesday, led by financial shares, after the Federal Reserve said it would add up to $200 billion to strain credit markets in a coordinated effort with other central banks. The market rang up its biggest gains of the year after the Fed said it was expanding a lending program that will accept a broader base of securities as collateral, including mortgage bonds, whose value has declined as the housing bubble burst. A British wildlife student has died after being bitten by a deadly black mamba. He's a 27-year-old from England. He was attacked by the snake as he walked in a long grass with a group of teachers and fellow students during a trip to South Africa. The black mamba is the second largest venomous snake in the world and among the deadliest, capable of reaching up to 14 feet in length. He was with his girlfriend when he got bitten. She simply watched him fall into a coma and never recover. Well, the shuttle, we were watching the launch last night with Richard C. Hoagland. Shortly after firing a burst of propellant to catch up now to the International Space Station, the seven astronauts on board the Space Shuttle Endeavour are beginning efforts to scan the orbiter's heat shield for damage, just a precaution, simply a precaution. Such is the interest in Enceladus that NASA has directed its Cassini spacecraft to pass just 150 miles from Saturn's moon on Wednesday. The flyby will take the probe through the plumes of icy particles emanating from the cracks at the South Pole, dubbed the Tiger Stripes. The cause of this activity has developed into the big scientific question of the flagship mission. This will help scientists address the issue of whether there's an ocean under that icy crust. A Swedish artist wants to put a house on the moon, and he's won the backing of his country's space agency. They're going to develop this house so that once they land a craft on the moon, it will pop open, and there it will be. And the artist, who's 44 years old, says his house is red and white. It will be on the moon. It's a project he's been thinking about for a long time. It will be around on the moon and remain standing for thousands of years once it's up there. Good luck. CoastToCoastAM.com, the feature article. Take a look at that story. A gnome running around. It's captured on videotape. A town in South America is living in fear after several sightings of what they call a creepy gnome that locals claim stalks the streets at night. Just take a look at it. You make up your own mind. And it is a strange video, I'll tell you that. And also, under hot stories, a story that we are bringing back to the hot story section because it's an incredible picture of what looks like a UFO floating by a Ferris wheel in London. And experts say this is the real deal. A student was left shocked when she checked her tourist snaps of the London skyline, spotted what looks like a flying saucer. You can see the pictures right there under Hot Stories at CoastToCoastAM.com. The sensational story that a meeting had taken place at the United Nations among the G8 countries concerning a possible change to policy of disclosure in 2009 now appears to have been, according to the president of the French National UFO Research Organization, a fiction. On Whitley Strieber's website, unknowncountry.com, you can read all about the story, but we've got Whitley right now to react to it. Hey, Whitley, how are you?
Hey, it's good to talk to you, George.
Me too. Now, this story here, the primary source was a fellow by the name of Gilles Laurent, a Frenchman.
And that's right.
What's going on with this story now, Whitley?
Well, first of all, it's not clear that the meeting didn't happen. What it looks like, though, right now, is that one of the sources of information is impeached, is not, in fact, valid. The researcher Robert Morningstar, who is also looking into this, is saying that his source is a U.S. military officer who was present at the meeting and not the French gentlemen at all. However, I can't find any indication of the presence of this story prior to the Gilles Laurent announcement. So it's very up in the air. What happened was this. Initially, this man, Gilles Laurent, made this claim in France shortly that he had attended this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And that he had attended it on behalf of a French organization, not the French National UFO Research Organization, but another French organization that is concerned with high-level defense issues.
Okay.
And he would have, had he been a member of the National Higher Defense Studies Institute of National Higher Defense Studies, he would have indeed been credentialed to, possibly credentialed to attend such a meeting, indeed. This is the same group that published a few years ago a study called UFOs and National Defense, which was the first time any semi-official organization in the world anywhere really had made such an absolutely open statement that the UFOs probably were controlled by alien intelligence. So then, however, he admitted to the French National UFO Research Organization that he was not, in fact, credentialed to attend the meeting. He was not a member of the National Higher Defense Studies Institute at all.
I sometimes wonder, Whitley, if people like Gilles Laurent are plants thrown in there to create disinformation and screw everything up.
Well, it's possible, and there are two possibilities here. One is that it is disinformation that was designed to discredit the UFO community in some way. Two is that the meeting did take place, and this is disinformation designed to cloud the issue. And it, really what has to happen now is that Robert, if he is able to, needs to come out and say and identify his source, if that's possible. And if it's not, then we're left in limbo.
Again, yes,
but at the same time, what Michael Sala on his website has said about the meeting, which he presumably learned, I don't know, he doesn't say who his source was, he just calls him Source A at this point, is that if the high level of UFO activity continues, there will be disclosure in 2009 of something, presumably that they are an unknown deserving of scientific study. He also makes the comment on his website, which upset me a lot, that it was decided at the meeting to basically expose everyone who had claims of close encounters as charlatans, which is just appalling, because here you've got people like me and like any number of other people mm-hmm. who have implants that have been tempted remove or removed that cannot be explained by science, and if it wasn't put in by these guys, then who did it?
Well, I'm glad you take this seriously, Whitley, and I'm also glad that you take a stand on this. And, you know, when I was perusing unknowncountry.com today, I saw your position on this, and I said, got to get Whitley back on. So, so
thank you.
Thanks for coming on, Whitley. Appreciate
it.
That's Whitley Strieber. In a moment, Sean David Morton joins us, because we are going to be talking about the U.S. Mideast commander who is stepping down. We're going to be talking about the explosion in the stock market. Sean David Morton has talked about these on the program before. We're going to get his take from the intuitive remote viewer next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, joining us for the remaining portion of the hour, here he is now, Sean David Morton. Hey, Sean.
Hi, how are you, George?
I'm doing great. Lots going on that you have been talking about on this program, and in our most recent visit with each other, not too long ago, you were mentioning the possibility of some high commanders just walking out, calling it quits, and here we have the highest right now in the Mideast, the commander, Admiral William Fallon, basically saying, look, you know what? I don't agree with what's going on. My question to you, Sean, is this walking out tantamount to some kind of an attack, of which Defense Secretary Robert Gates calls ridiculous?
Yes, I think so. The biggest thing about William Fallon is that when he first came on with the job, I mean, not only was he, not only did he have to do with being the CENTCOM commander, but he was also head of something called, I love these little acronyms that they come up with. It was actually called TYRANT, which stands for the Iranian Near Theater. And, the biggest thing about Fallon was two things. When he first took the job, it was pointed out that he has absolutely no experience planning ground assaults, no experience with really infantry or anything that would have to do with actual people on the ground, an actual physical invasion, if you will. The second thing was that from the day he got the job, he basically said that a war with the Iranians was, quote, not going to happen on my watch, unquote. And he's been at odds with the president from the get-go. Because we have President Bush and Dick Cheney, as I think pretty much everybody knows by now, have since Bush took office, a plan to the first plan was to invade Iraq, and the second plan, of course, is to bomb 486 separate sites inside Iran and basically just bomb Iran back into the Stone Age, supposedly using their nuclear program as the excuse for that. Now, there's been two incidents that have been reported in the press which are kind of disturbing. The first incident, I think the only place you heard about it anywhere in the news was on your program, and I explained a little bit about a joint U.S.-Israeli attack on a underground facility in Syria mm-hmm. that had to do with, and again, I spoke on the show about how I thought we would see the use of limited nuclear weapons this year, that we'd see them in the Middle East, and that we would possibly see them in a conflict between Pakistan and India. And a low-grade tactical nuclear weapon called an Excalibur nuke was actually used on this underground facility in Syria. Just in brief, the United States have been tracking the Koreans for quite some time, the North Koreans moving equipment and various things in and out of a particular mountain in Syria. There was a accident of some kind underground. There was a plume of radioactive gas that actually came out of the mountain. It was picked up by our satellites. And the United States went in with this tactical drilling nuclear weapon that actually went into the hill. It drills down and then releases a shaped nuclear charge to take out whatever's underneath it. A lot of it was covered up, and there was a big smoke screen around it because the United States did not want to admit to actually using a tactical nuke in that way. We talked about a dry run for all of this going on called Project Solid Curtain Citadel Shield happening in September and October. Which also included a mock military red flag, if you will, operations of mock terrorist attacks against Portland, Oregon, Phoenix, Arizona, and Guam. And we talked about specifically that all this was run into what they call gambit computers to come up with something that they – it's actually called a gambit paper. The gambit computers actually take all the information in from all the scenarios, if you will. How long does it take to get troops back to a base from leave? How long does it take to clamp down those troops? How long does it take to get triage trailers, for example, in the case of a radiological attack, et cetera, et cetera? This all goes into a gambit computer and then comes out as a paper as various war game possibilities. Then there was an incident, of course, once again, reported on your show about a boat incident that happened where there was supposedly an Iranian craft that was making threatening gestures towards a U.S. naval ship, and there were a whole series of very, very suspicious radio transmissions that were picked up saying that, you know, we will blow you up and death to America and things like this. And a lot of this was the reason the United States did not retaliate, and that incident was not blown up, but it had a lot to do with Admiral Fallon. We also spoke on the show to specifically, and the timing of this is what's really unnerving, mm-hmm. considering what's going on economically in the United States and what's happening with the stock market and how much money is being dumped into this. The timing's unnerving because I talked about the late part of March, around the 25th or so, being the crux point of this, for us seeing some kind of naval incident between the United States and the United States and Iran in the near the Straits of Hormuz in the Gulf of Oman, and it's in the Persian Gulf. And the biggest thing here is between now and about the between late March and through about the middle of April was this window for some kind of either mock terrorist attack or some kind of attack in the United States or somewhere in the world that would give us that would give the Bush administration comes some kind of excuse to go in, because the next window for this, and really the last window they have to do anything, would be the last 2 weeks of October, right around about October 25th or so.
And
so,
see, what I find also disturbing, Sean, is this Pentagon report that's coming out this week.
Mm-hmm.
Pentagon report, which says there's no link between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden's al-Qaeda network. And yet that, along with the weapons of mass destruction, used as a reason why we needed to go into Iraq.
Well,
and this, again, is a Pentagon report. This isn't some organization that's doing a poll where you can question its motives.
Right.
This is a Pentagon report.
Right.
That bothers me.
Well, does this come out of the Special Department of Duh? I mean,
yeah.
You know, everybody's known this from the beginning, and you know, we've talked about this, you know, a long time. I mean, you know, for 8 years now, we've been having the same conversation on this program about what the motives are here. And I can explain what their motives are. I mean, their motives specifically are is that they believe that the Democrats are going to take power. And I will give you their explanation as to why they're so gung-ho to attack the Iranians and level Iran and do what's going on. Their thinking, I do not say I agree with it, but I'm telling you what their thinking is. Their thinking will be is that a Democratic administration gets in, whether it's Obama, whether it's, you know, whether it's Hillary, whatever, gets in 2008. The Democrats will not have the stomach to attack and level a country with nuclear weapons that has not attacked us, that has made no aggressive moves towards the United States. The reason for this is that they feel the Democrats will tear apart the military, obviously defund the military, possibly start pulling troops out of Iraq. That if Iran is left to its own devices, that in the course of 4 to 8 years, when the Republicans might get back in, either in 2012 or 2016, that if the United States withdraws or starts to reduce its influence in Iraq, Iraq will be divided up into three separate nation states. Turkey will come in through the north. Iran will come in through the south, take over the oil fields, which is about 20% of the world's oil reserves.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at literally a Persian super state, if you will. It is kind of interesting because at that time we may be looking at the possibility of what's called a Nostradamus scenario, you know, the guy in the blue turban, the Persian prince, and all this.
It's the old Antichrist scenario.
Yeah, I mean, there is an argument to be made for that. I don't agree with it, but the problem is that because we've destabilized Iraq and taken out their army, we have no real choice. If we leave, the scenario that I've just said is what's going to come down.
We're going to open up the phone lines. We've got Sean David Morton. And, Sean, I'm going to talk with you about the surging stock market today. Where did that come from? Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, Dr. Len Horowitz joins us. He's an internationally known authority in behavioral science and an expert on emerging viruses, diseases, his thoughts on vaccines. Sort of a real science show next hour on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, so the Federal Reserve is going to add up to $200 billion to help the strained credit markets. Where do they get this money, Sean?
Are they going to throw it out of a helicopter? I'm just waiting for Ben Bernanke to throw it out of a helicopter like he promised he was going to do.
Where does this come from?
They're printing in the basement. They're just printing the stuff. It's just, the only reason it took them this long to dump $200 billion on the market is because it took them that long to print. It's just, they're back with the Keebler elves printing this stuff out.
No gold behind this, then, you're saying?
No, there's nothing. It's just, look, I told you a year ago, we talked about this, just a couple of cases in point here. I talked about the euro being at $1.52. It's $1.5363. So the euro is exactly where I said it was going to be, and that stuff was going to start breaking in Europe when the euro hit $1.52. We talked about silver. Silver hit 20 today, and it's down just a little bit. It's readjusted to 19.676, so it's down about 30 cents or so. But silver is going to continue its climb upward to the 25 range, and it's going to sit comfortably between about 25, and you'll see silver at $30 by the end of the year. You've got gold, and I know you've got a great gold company that sponsors your program. I work with SwissAmerica.com. And gold prices are at 974, but gold is even still a good investment right now because with this much money coming into the market with $200 billion, and my telling you that they made a conscious choice that they do not want the stock market to collapse and they will basically just print money and throw it out of helicopters and dump as much baseless, useless capital as possible on the markets until something breaks.
It's a phony propping, then.
Of course it is. And gold, for example, my next projection for gold is you'll see gold by the end of this year. You'll see gold at the 1200 mark. I think I had a linchpin for it about 1225 or so before there might be a readjustment. So gold's going up, silver's going up. You've got investors going completely insane because you've got all these people with money out there. You can't leave it in the bank because of the interest rates. You can't leave it in the bond market because that's being destroyed. You can't invest in property because we're still here's I mean here's the next thing. We're still probably 6 months out of the true bottom of the housing market. So within 4 to 6 months or so, by the middle of summer, once again towards the election or so, that's when you're going to start seeing the real crunch from the housing market going on. There was, for example, a big controversy between the Federal Reserve that just printed up about $2 billion in the basement with the Keebler cookie elves and
$200 billion.
No, $2 billion. I'm talking about a year ago. They printed up $2 billion. They walked over to the government, the federal building, and basically bought $2 billion worth of securities. And even the Congress started whining, jumping up and down, saying, you can't just print $2 billion out of nowhere when it's worth nothing and take it over here and actually buy securities that are worth something. This is Wall Street's going to go crazy. Why was there this 400-point jump in the market? Because when $200 billion liquid capital just gets dumped, the people that benefit are the people that get the money first, the banks, the insurance companies, the big Wall Street guys. By the time the money trickles down to you and me, where the money becomes worth practically nothing, we're the ones that are hurt by all this. All they're doing is pumping useless, baseless capital into the markets. And they're doing exactly the same thing now that you saw the Federal Reserve doing when it was first formed after 1913. Very minor, brief history lesson. 1913, the Federal Reserve comes in. They pass the federal income tax. The Fed begins to flood the markets with cheap capital, which funds the Roaring Twenties and Calvin Coolidge and the whole nine yards. They then stop printing money, and when they stop printing money, that's when the entire federal government goes bankrupt in 1933. They go bankrupt to the privately owned Federal Reserve, and what you're seeing today, this is what's happening to the Europeans. With the Europeans, they were dumb enough to form this European Union about 12 years or so ago. They formed a central bank in Europe. They started printing euros, cheap capital all across Europe. Everybody was happy, big economic boom, and now they've stopped printing euros, and the French are in trouble. The Spanish are already bankrupt. The Italians are going broke. They just laid off something like 30,000 people in Europe, in Germany, actually. And I said over and over and over again, this is the Mayan fifth night. This is the year of Armageddon, to watch Italy, watch Germany, watch the reactions of these markets, and that when the euro hit $1.52, stuff in Europe would start to break. My projection of oil was that not only will we see oil over $100, but you're going to see oil at $125, which means that you're going to have oil, you're going to have gasoline.
Five bucks a gallon.
$5 a gallon. You're going to see diesel at between $6 and $6.25. And when all these things come together, things are going to start to break. The economy is simply not going to be able to function. That means food doesn't get to places. People can't travel. It affects every single other industry out there. And what you're seeing is and this is probably why they fired Fallon, and they're getting ready to go into another war to distract people from what's going on, from the economic pain that's about to happen, because the United States is being foreclosed on. And we talked about this 2 years ago when the Bilderbergers all met, and 2 years ago we talked about how they were going to wipe out the housing market and the subprime market. And this is, once again, George, this isn't psychic power. This is people paying attention. This is listening to alternative media. This is understanding that when 600 of the richest people in the world get together and say they're going to do something, they ain't just whistling Dixie. And this jump in the stock market today is just one more example that what is good for Wall Street is terrible for Main Street, because, again, the United States is being foreclosed on, and the fact that they would just that they're giving out $450 a person and $200 billion is a fiscal policy that's insane. I mean, this is the Weimar Republic. Are people going to start buying loaves of bread with wheelbarrows full of money that's completely worthless and backed by nothing? It's just it's outrageous. We are literally heading headlong into the abyss, and I'm usually the optimistic one that says, you know, look, it's going to be okay if we just ride this out. But I don't see where this ends outside of a complete fiscal collapse. Well, here's where it ends, George, and let me throw some conspiracy theory in there for you.
And do you have anything good to say?
Well, they're printing the Amero right now in Denver. And now that the U.S. dollar is worth about 65 cents of what it was, now that you have the Canadian dollar worth exactly the same as the U.S. dollar, the Mexican peso is still, actually it slipped a bit, but it's between about, it's about 9 or 10 to 1 or so, the Mexican peso. The idea here is that, and we talked about this on the show the last time I was on, that there's talk at the highest level to simply let the Federal Reserve note just go, let it slide, let our currency just completely go into the abyss. They introduced the Amero. The Amero will be backed by silver, and now we have, just like the euro that they introduced about 12 years or so ago in Europe, now we'll have a viable currency that can be used for the United States, Mexico, and Canada, and this is all a drive towards the merger of the U.S., Mexico, and Canada into the NAU, the North American Union.
I got to get you and Jerry Corsi together. Let's go to some of the phone calls. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Blair in Sedona, Arizona.
Hi, Blair. Go ahead.
With apologies to Tom, I think I'm going to change my question to Sean Dave and talk about money.
Of
I remember
course.
2 years ago, George, on your show, he was talking about redbacks being printed to be used overseas. And now, I haven't heard anything more of that, but I did hear on your show 2 weeks ago that a Reuben sandwich now costs $38 to a tourist when you're in Turkey. And when I was there in the low 80s, the Turkish lira was plentiful for the dollar.
Your thoughts on the redbacks?
The redbacks, I printed up this story. I gave it out to some people out there. I was in Amsterdam a few years ago for a business deal. And there's a bunch of vaults and warehouses that they have actually by the airport. We had lunch with these gentlemen who said, you know, do you want to see something interesting? And they took us, there were some guards there, and they were friends with them, and they took us into this big vault. And there were big vaults under these sort of plastic glass with screws on them of these kind of sparkly red bills. This was before, by the way, they now they have the 10s and they've got the 50s that have the red dye in them now. These were $100 bills that had red dye with kind of a sparkly mica in them. And they said, these are these redbacks. There's about $60 billion of these sitting in sitting in warehouses all around the world and all the various financial centers. And I said, well, what do you think is going to happen here? And this was about April of 2005, I guess. And they said, well, apparently they're just going to let the U.S. dollar slide, and there's a massive inflationary cycle that's about to happen here. And the United States, this is a contingency program, they were saying, that the United States may in fact have a two-tiered currency, which is exactly what Japan did when it hyperinflated the yen in the 1980s, when they had the big banking crisis there. That way they could then stabilize the currency overseas, traded in for these redbacks, these red $100 bills, and then they could basically just float the currency to whatever they wanted to float it is domestically and keep a stable foreign currency. So a two-tiered currency system was what these guys were talking about back in 2005. And they were the ones that were saying, well, they're going to print Federal Reserve notes and U.S. dollars like they're going out of style, and this will be a way for them to actually stabilize the dollar overseas. And they haven't implemented it yet, and I haven't seen anything more about it. But I physically saw the cases that were actually sitting in these vaults outside the airport in Amsterdam.
All right, next up, East of the Rockies, you're on with Sean David Morton. Hi there.
Hey, Sean. Listen, talk to me about the drugs they're putting in our drinking water. Tell me about how you see the Democratic nominee resolving itself and who's going to be in the Final Four.
Okay. There you go.
Okay. Well, we're going to see USC play Arizona State on Thursday. I have no opinions. I'm a terrible sports predictor, as I'm sure George will attest. As far as the drugs and the drinking water, I can't really speak to that. What was the other question? I'm sorry.
He wants to know about the presidential nominations
I'm so disappointed.
And the drugs and the water.
Worst possible person, I think, for president. I think it's very interesting. All I can say about this, and I'm working on an article about it now, is I think it's very interesting that anybody that's ever gotten in Hillary Clinton's way has a weird tendency of waking up dead. Let me see, Ron Brown, JFK Jr., Vince Foster. She's got a very interesting way of having people that are her enemies have bad things happen to them. I could float a scenario out there for you, which I think is interesting. What would happen? And I'm just saying that this is a blue sky theory. What would happen if you actually had, say, Obama as the presidential nominee, Hillary Clinton as the vice president? You go through the election cycle, and let's say they both get elected, and then something, let's say, happens to Barack Obama. You have riots in all the major cities. You would have the populations in the inner cities rioting in Washington, D.C., Detroit, all across the United States, which would then allow Hillary Clinton to implement all of the executive orders that George Bush has put in place in his 8 years or so. And I've always said the executive orders and the fascist, draconian, totalitarian stuff that Bush was putting in place was not going to be for George Bush. It was going to be in place for whoever was going to be president between 2008 and 2012, because that's when the real chaos was coming, both politically and economically. So
yeah, but this election could still be halted if something happens. You know that.
Here's the process. The President of the United States, under current executive orders, could halt the election for 180 days. And then the Congress and the Senate would actually reconvene under the protection, I might add, of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who I've explained over and over do not get along with this president and consider him a rogue president and have defied his orders on a number of occasions. The Joint Chiefs of Staff would then reconvene the Congress and the Senate, and the Congress and the Senate would be responsible for either holding the elections or they would be the ones who would be responsible for then reinitiating the election cycle. So it's not something that's going to happen. It's not like Bush is going to be, the king or the Fuhrer or anything like that. They have too much invested in the illusion of choice in the matrix, if you will, the pretend that people have actually some kind of choice, because nothing really ever changes. I've said again that Hillary has had a series of clandestine meetings inside the White House with both Bush and Cheney, where she's been told that she's it, she's the hand-picked, anointed one, and that this is your
sources, or is this remote viewing?
This is my sources. This is people inside the White House, inside the Pentagon, inside the Beltway. This was a big deal as far as her meetings with Bush.
What does she do? Dress up like Britney Spears and sneak in?
No, they've had these meetings in the White House where they've basically said, look, this is, when you take over, this is how it's going to be, and this is what you've got to do. And I'm disappointed because it seems like every candidate out there with the exception of Ron Paul, and I'm not exactly sure how Barack Obama feels about it, but it seems like every candidate seems to be a war candidate. You know, certainly when you have John McCain, an interesting thing about John McCain, the actual word McCain means son of Cain. The word John, his first name, actually means God's gracious gift. In Hebrew, Cain actually means bearer of the spear or maker of the spear, actually. So it's unusual that when you actually look at the genesis of the word Cain and son of Cain, that you actually have John McCain's meaning the God's gracious gift of the bearer or maker of the spear. And if you look at what Cain did as the murderer of his brother, who was a traitor to his family, he goes north to the land of Nod. It is believed that Nod was Asia at that time and that he founded a great nation north in the land of Nod, where Cain became known as Khan, which was also the great serpent of wisdom. So I just think it's kind of weird that John McCain, or son of Cain, is going to be the Republican nominee. But I have said again, George, that between now and November will be just complete chaos. It's not going to be anything anybody suspects. I have not been able to call this election because every time I try to look at what's going on in November, it's a nightmare. I mean, it's just a big black hole. There's as much chaos around what's going to happen in November between October, the last 2 weeks of October, watch that period of time, and the election as there was around the 2000 election when I was on with Art Bell in 97 saying, once again, I wasn't sure that there was going to be a presidential election in 2008 because whoever came out the other side was appointed president. There's that kind of chaos that's going to go on around the 2008 election.
West of the Rockies. Go ahead. You're on with Sean David Morton.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm confused because I keep hearing people say the government's printing up too much money, and I think that's a blatant lie or a total mis. The public doesn't know how the money gets into circulation. The government doesn't somehow print it up and send it off into the economy. And I guarantee 99% of your listeners haven't a clue what you say when you say the government prints up too much money.
Well, first off, it's not the government. It's the privately owned Federal Reserve.
But I don't believe they print up too much money.
It's not the United States Treasury. Second off, sir, have you not seen the value of the dollar completely nosedive over the last 18 months? What happened was is that in March of 2006, the only accountability that the privately owned member banks of the Federal Reserve had in regards to their ability to print money was the M3 index. And I jumped up and down and I yelled and screamed and I wrote articles and I talked about it on this program that when they took the Federal Reserve note off the M3 index, the only accountability they had was to tell people how much money was actually in circulation. That's what the M3 index did, sir. And when they took it off the M3 index, they could print as much money as they wanted and pump it into the money supply. And that's exactly what's going on. When you print bunches of money, you have inflation. And that's one of the reasons why the dollar is tanking worldwide, because there's so much capital in circulation. And there's nothing really to stop it because, again, when you have a chairman of the Federal Reserve, before he is actually nominated chairman and confirmed as chairman, say, quote, "I will throw money out of helicopters if it means it will help the economy," unquote.
That's what they're doing.
You have just seen the helicopter take off and Mr. Bernanke throwing $200 billion out of a helicopter.
Sean David Morton, website, Delphi Associates.
It's actually SeanDavidMorton.com.
Aha.
You can check out or DelphiAssociates.com. Also, check out the film company, AsgardMedia.com, because we're raising money for a film company. And anyway, check out the products. Check out the website. Love you, George.
See you, Sean. Thanks for being on the program with your perspective. I'll be back in a moment with Dr. Lynn Horowitz on Coast to Coast AM.